Welcome to the May 2011 Message of the Month, featuring the president, founder, and guiding light of Light Within, David Hulse. This month's message was recorded and is hot off the presses, Mother's Day 2011 in Carrollton, Ohio, at the Angels in the Valley Retreat Center. For more information, you can contact us at Light Within, 1635 Higdon Ferry Road, Suite C246, Hot Springs, Arkansas, 71913, or call 501-622-3155. On the web, of course, at www.lightwithin.com. Be sure and stay tuned on the end of the CD for a special message from David regarding the upcoming retreat Labor Day weekend. Until next time, remember, your life is a gift, but your journey is a choice. Thank you for choosing to spend a part of your journey with us. We now join David and friends on Mother's Day in Carrollton, Ohio, where the meeting has just begun.
Well, I'm not sure exactly what the theme or the themes that have run through and threaded itself through the tapestry of this weekend. To me, on a general basis, I felt it was, again, some instruction to us that meets us where we live. And that's not the most fun meetings. The fun meetings are the big picture meetings, talking about what it's going to be, goal talking. We call it revelation, but revelations was goals. Goals of the kingdom coming and immortality and perfect health and all the prosperity that we needed and all that. That's fun because we don't have to deal with it right this second. We can just go back to our old patterns and live our life as we were living it, maybe with a new encouragement, a new faith, a new vision, a new hope. And that's been going on for decades as far as I'm concerned. I've watched it from meeting to meeting. And something has shifted, something has changed, something has fine-tuned. I think we're at a place of self-inner reflection. I think we have to go places that we have put off for a long time. Who knows how long? No idea, but it's been a long time that we have shut ourselves off to not go into our own closets, in our own basements, in our own attics. Now you keep in the attics the relics of your ancestors, most likely. In most people's attics, they get up in the attic and they open the old chests up and they look at the old pictures and all of the old papers and reminisce about what's been handed down and left. We seem to want to put in the attic. So the attic would represent all the relics of our mind that we keep holding on to. And there's not a bit of use in them other than the memories that we hold. And we're very sentimental about some things. I have learned not to be. I've held on to a few things from my mother, but most I let go of. Not saying it was easy. And I did it very quickly. I didn't wait. But I looked at everything that had no value of itself and realized that it could be of value to someone else. For instance, her clothes. She had wonderful clothes, as you all know that know her. She had beautiful clothes. I have no use for those clothes unless I was going to change my persuasions about how I want to dress. And I didn't feel I wanted to go quite that far into anything. So they was of no use to me is my point, but to sit in a closet and once in a while look at them and feel sad about my mother. So I immediately tried to give them to people who needed clothing, who would use the clothing and get the use of what clothes are for. So I did a lot of things. I admit I did keep one little chest that she had that had some things in it that I am not ready yet to let go of, but mostly I let go of a lot of things, a lot of jewelry, a lot of things that, and I'm symbolically using that as we need to, in this time of inner work that I've been talking about this weekend, is we really need to look at what are we holding on to that is of no service or good to us. but only remains something that brings us into the lower bodies of emotion and feeling. I mean, why do we want to feel sad? Why do we want to hold on to something that when we look at it, it makes us feel sad? Why do we want to hold on to something that makes us feel grief? You know, if you stop and think, it makes absolutely no sense. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to step out and say this. Since there's so much of this ancestor work coming out now with the DNA, RNA tuning forks and this whole new thing that Hannah's doing and introducing to us. And I do think this is the work. You know, Karen, you remember some years ago we really dabbled in that a little bit and felt the need that we have to go back into ancestral stuff. But I don't think we really got how to do it the way that I think we're getting ready to do it, through vibration and through sound. But everything that you hold holds an energy or a vibration of that person. So the real truth, everything that we hold on of someone who has made their transition, we're holding a piece of them into the earth realm. If we're holding it on with an emotion of grief or fear, then we're holding a piece of some ancestry. So it is very good to let things move on. Doesn't mean you have to destroy them, but we can move them on. And as we move them on, then we free that frequency to not be held within our confinements of our life. I think Native Americans, can't tell you I'm an expert in Native American, but I know in Native American indigenous people, they did so much of the fire. I mean, I really believed, you know, personally in the burning of the body when they would put it out on the boat and have the ceremony and put it out in the water on the lake and let the fire, because to them, fire was a very sacred purification, and it really should be. Unfortunately, Christians have made it what it is. It's sad that fire, I think Christians are very confused about fire. I really do. They're tremendously confused that it's the devil's domain, and then God is a consuming fire, and the ministers are flames of fire, and we're all confused about this fire thing. Is it a good thing or is it a bad thing? And even when hell, fire and brimstone type of things, if anybody studies that, we'll see that the Greeks used that term because fire and sulfur was for the purification of things. Fire wasn't for punishment, it was for purification. And that's something that we could have learned from the indigenous people that we took their lands away from. You know, at least we could have learned some ancient things that could have helped us to be a better Christian religion. But instead of seeing everything else as heathen or pagan or, you know, whatever terms they use, to cut all the past of history away so that we could start all over again with it without bringing forward that which had evolved on this planet in the form of ceremony, has left a tremendous gap within these religions. The process of evolution, what I call evolution, is not leaving things, but evolving things as you move forward. I'm going to say that again. Evolution is not looking at things and say, because I don't believe it, I don't agree with it, I'm going to cut it off and I'm going to start all over again. But it's about transmuting things and bringing things with you and learning to bring that which is a part of what the growth and evolution is about. I know I've talked to you guys that I've known for years about this idea of 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold that has been so big in the Sons of God message. You know, I've used it this weekend. The seed shall fall in good ground, chapter 30-fold, 60-fold. You know, we did all that teaching. You know what I'm talking about. The tabernacle, the outer court, the inner court, the whole place, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, blah, blah, blah. I could go on and on and on. But the point is people who we call 30-fold, which was just the people who knew salvation, were pretty much the way. They knew the way. And then we moved into what we call 60-fold, which is into the holy place. Well, isn't that ridiculous to think that you could undo and deny the 30 to have the 60. How can you have 60 unless you keep the 30? Does that make sense to you? So all of a sudden we started making fun of everything in the third fold. You know, we laughed at the rapture. We laughed at all the 30-fold stuff because now we're in the 60-fold and we're smarter and we've got revelation. And again, we cut ourselves off. And I think right now is a good time in retrospect to go back and realize that some of those things are things that we need to transmute with us and bring it with us. When I run into people who don't want to hear any Bible, because the Bible represents to them their old Christian upbringing when they were raised Baptist or something and like that. And I went through a phase like that, but it's totally ridiculous. The Bible has never been really, as far as I'm concerned, the seals have never been fully loosed in it in the first place. We've never really heard the depth of where the words come from. We've never heard the heart of God. And you can't know the Word of God until you know the heart of God. You can't even know my words until you discern my heart. I don't know where you're coming from with your words until I know your heart. For out of the heart proceeds all things, whether they are judged as good or bad, all seem to come from the heart. So everything has the heart of it. We call it the heart of matter. The heart of matter means the inner essence, the inner substance, that which makes something what it is. The letter is what we have learned to move away some of the letter and how it's been formed into ideas of constructs of dogma and doctrine. And the doctrines of men has made what? My word of no effect. It says that. It says the things that man make the true word of no effect. So who's going to go in there and rescue the heart of the word? Whether it's in the Bible or maybe in the Vedas, or in any other so-called holy book that is in any religion, all of them. Because I have a feeling that if people, as I've been saying this weekend, take the face off of everything, take the symbolism, I feel like what seems so far away between, say, Christians and Islam, which seems a long way right now, there's a lot of stuff going on, if we would take all these religions and take the face off of it, the outer appearance would be like a wheel where the spokes are the furthest apart out here on the rim, but all begin to merge closer and closer and closer into a hub of consciousness. Now, if you stop and think, every major religion, especially under the one God, Jehovah, Old Testament, that we deal with mostly, is Judeo-Christianity, and the Islam. So the Jews, the Christians, and Islam all basically are based upon God, Allah, the Old Testament, God. Most of them all accept Moses, they accept all the prophets, so on and so forth. They may throw in one of theirs to spice it up a little bit. But here's the thing, every one of them also have a mystical side to them. In Islam, there's the Sufis. In the Jewish, there is the Kabbalah. In Christianity, there's the Gnostics. The Essenes, those that were the more mystical sides of things. So there was another side to all the religions that was pretty much edited out as heresy by the ecumenical councils. When the ecumenical councils begin to merge and begin to come together within 200 to 400 years, 300 years after actually Jesus, Yeshua, walked the earth, then so much has been edited out and left out, both literally and spiritually. Now I want you to get that, because also there are things in the natural realm that needs to be rescued. And that's where the idea of metaphysics comes along. You know, I'm very reluctant to use labels anymore, because Hannah and I was talking about coming here about a naturopath means
teacher of a way.
Yeah. A teacher of the way, of the natural way. That's all it means. But now if you say it, it means that somebody is a naturopathic doctor, or they've studied naturopath, or they've been labeled a certain segment of people. So that doesn't leave the rest of us to use that term, who's trying to follow the natural path to enlightenment, because they've got it now. Because they've gone to school and they've learned a certain thing and they've got a certificate that says that they're a naturopath. So you have to belong to the club. And it's in everything. It's in everything. It is the ego's agenda is to divide for the purpose of conquering it. To segregate it. To separate it. And we have done that, and done that very successfully, as far as I'm concerned. Christianity, let me give you that one. I am actually so raised in fundamental Christianity, in a fundamental Christianity climate and home, that we did not believe and never accepted Catholics as Christians. There was no way we thought a Catholic could be a Christian. Never entered my mind to call Catholics a part of Christendom. And they are truly one of the true Christians. As far as man-made Christianity, they are the ones who made Christianity basically what it is today. It has come from the ecumenical councils, Nicene councils. They decided what books would be in the Bible. They decided to put in the Trinity. They decided to put in a lot of things that all Christians believe today are in the archives of the Vatican and of the Catholic Church. And I say this with no judgment. I'm just saying the fact is, you have a mother and you have a daughter in Christianity. But that's what I was raised in the South, with a father who not only did not believe Catholics were Christians, but believed that they were the Antichrist, and that the Pope would rise to the Antichrist, and believe that Catholics were being told by the Pope to put guns in their basements and to take over the Protestant the people when the great and terrible day of the Lord came. And that's what my dad believed, and that's how I was raised. I was very reluctant to go to a friend's house, and I liked this friend in school, but when I found out he was Catholic, I was very reluctant to go into his house. But yet I was very interested to go and go peek around and see if I could find any guns. And of course, this was all made supposedly to be true when Kennedy was voted in. In the early 60s, man, the letters went out from the Assemblies of God and Pentecostal churches everywhere that this is exactly Bible prophecy. A Catholic is in the White House. He will give the power over to the Pope. The Pope will rule the world, blah, blah, blah. And here we go. And strangely enough, my parents voted for Kennedy. That's what's bizarre. First, I think that's the first and only time they ever voted in their life was for John F. Kennedy.
But he was a Democrat.
That was why. My family was extremely Democratic. So they would not have voted for Republican if it had been Jesus Christ. I'm serious. Very Democratic. People are confused. I'm telling you, they're confused. They're double-minded and unstable in their ways. When you talk about this, it is comical almost to realize how that we have divided ourselves up, and we are schizophrenic. And the Bible talks about it. The inner man, the outer man, the man of flesh, the man of spirit. And until those are married and united And the inner becomes as the outer, and the outer becomes as the inner. We will continue to put out very confusing signals through our cultures and societies and religions. So you have to get to the spirit of the word. And that's what metaphysics was to me. Now, I think I was metaphysical before I ever heard of metaphysics. And I was accepted. I was not accepted once I took the label. Once I dared to use myself and define myself as a metaphysician, because I, you know, I went to the University of Metaphysics for a while and got a bachelor's in metaphysics, and for years spoke at the World Metaphysical Conventions in Las Vegas, and I was involved. Once I did that, I was rejected by the same people who received me, and the only thing different is back then I called it the spiritual application of the word. Mm-hmm. Now, to show you how language can make all of the difference in the ego's world, as long as I got up in Sons of God conventions and said, this is the spiritual application, this is what the word means, this is what's behind the symbol, this is the spiritual meaning behind it, as long as I used that language and stayed within the confinement of Christian language, I was accepted. The minute I used a new label for myself that was outside of Christianity, then I was in false doctrine. I was deceived. And then within that, other labels emerged. For instance, universal reconciliation came out of that. People who said they were reconciliation then were not accepted by the other people who were not in reconciliation. And it goes on and on. And the only thing that's dividing us is the illusion of language. I'm still not accepted with a lot of people because of the language has changed. The meaning hasn't changed in many cases, but the language changed. So, I feel this weekend has given us somewhat some assignments and some homework and some things that I hope that you'll take seriously in leaving here. Many of you have, all of you have spent money to come here and invested your time, your money to come here. And don't let this be only what happened, what you got out of what happened at the moment. If you don't take something with you that becomes a part of your life and every day, then you didn't receive much of anything that is going to change anything. So be sure and to take something. If it's the 1 minute thing that I've asked you to do, the 1 minute of silence a day. You know, I'm joining Oprah on that one. Oprah started this 1 minute movement. And I think it's the most simple thing that anybody could ask of us is to give 1 minute of just being quiet and silent a day. Because you know what? It doesn't take the higher realms that you call angels and guides and Holy Spirit and Christ consciousness. You got all kinds of names for these dimensions, but they're just dimensions of yourself. They really are. I mean, bottom line, you can color it up a little bit and make it fun and give your higher self an accent from a 10,000-year-old entity and call it channeling if you want to. I mean, spice it up. You can get a following doing that. Yeah, if you put a little accent on it and you become a group of beings from Atlantis or some planet like that. But I'm telling you, when the face is taken off and it's all stripped away, you're going to find out it's just aspects of you in the higher dimensions. That's what needs to be channeled as your higher self, your true self, your spiritual self, your authentic self, your Christ self. That's the present truth. That's the word of today. And it's looking how to get through. Because all of the gates have been locked and shut for so long. All of the gateways, all of the portals That's why even the scripture tries to give us in this story about the New Jerusalem and the new city and all of that, the pretty part of that's called heaven. It'll talk about the 12 gates. It talks about the gates. It talks about him riding through the gates. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. And what? And the King of glory shall ride. Yeah. Are you working on things that open your gates of your city? If you will open gates, then things will ride in. And you won't have to be in this place that the ego wants to bring you to of doubt of what's wrong with me and why hasn't it come to me and why hasn't the prayers been answered and why have I not been healed and why I'm in not better shape and why am I still struggling with my finances and why I'm trying to deal with my relationships or I'm still trying to do all these things that we just keep struggling and struggling and struggling and struggling. And I tell you what we've gotten good at is justifying ourselves. That's what we're good at. We are masters of how to justify ourselves as to why it is not manifested. Well, it's just not time. I've heard that so much. When God wants to do it, God will do it. In God's time, God has no time. God has no time. That's what God is, that which is above time and space. We're the only, God never heard of time till man came up with it and invented some experience of moving through slow space from A to B and said, well, it took this long to get from over here to B, so that's time. And some said, woo, I got to B really fast. Some said, man, I didn't think I'd ever make it to B, so we had relative time.
You just explained why it's already done.
Exactly. Time is the illusion of moving towards something we think we don't have that we already are. Ooh, that's good. Somebody write that down. Ooh, I don't know if I can say that again or not. What's on the tape?
Yeah.
What did I say? Or what did... Time... Anybody have a memory at all here? Is there a memory in the house? Time is moving towards something we think we don't have when we are already that. That's what frustration's about. You know, I've tried to talk to you a little bit last night or whenever it was about how some of these unpleasant things are so spiritual that's going on in your life. Everything can't be joy. Everything can't be great. Everything can't be happiness. We're not in that. If that would happen, then we'd pitch our tents short of the land we've been promised. Mm-hmm. I'm talking the language now again. You know, I've always found that interesting in that little study about Israel out there in the wilderness and they're trying to get to their land where the milk and honey flows. And there's this one tribe, I forget which tribe, somebody might remember it, but there was one of the tribes that just really got weary with this whole running around out in the desert year after year after year after year. And they found this little patch of green grass out there in the desert. And they says, whoop, this is ours. Think we'll just stay here. And Moses said to them, would you actually do this and then let your brethren go over and fight the battle without you? And I feel like that sometimes. If we would manifest everything we want in this realm, you'd stay in this realm. That's counterproductive. Now, you can have the taste of the first fruits of the grapes if you want. And we've had that, everybody in this room, that I'll guarantee you, I think most of you, I know well enough, to know that has had an experience in the Holy Spirit, have tasted of the world to come. You've tasted of an age that has come before the age ever comes. Now you're living in the time of the coming and the shift of a world age into a new world age, but you've already tasted it. You've been blessed that way. We've been very, very humbly blessed to be able to taste of something. We went and spied the land out, and we've come back. And for some, maybe that was enough. Maybe that was enough just to have the first fruits of the harvest without going to the land in which the harvest came from, where you can have that inexhausted supply that we talk about in metaphysics all the time. So I talked last night a little bit about if we open our portals and gates, then the higher aspects of ourself, angels, guides, Christ, all of the things, will come in. But they don't come in here to set up themselves to a residency. They come here because we need assistance and help, and we need to come to a place. You got to get this. This is the thing you've got to be careful about with all this knowledge and revelation that I've given and others have given and helped us to find our deity and to find the your gods and to find all of these things about our identity and all these things. That's wonderful. But do not allow yourself to become a god unto yourself. The ego takes a truth, because it doesn't have any truth. It only borrows truth. It is a part of the five virgins that goes and borrows because it doesn't have anything. It's the five senses. Doesn't have anything, but it goes and borrows. And then puts its spin and agenda on it. So it's not that these things aren't truth, but they're dangerous when they're put and given to the ego with its agenda. And the agenda is always to separate you away from something bigger than yourself. And I know a lot of people today don't need nothing. They don't need to come to meetings. They don't need to read any books. They don't need to do anything anymore. They are God. They are divine. They are the Christ in the earth. And absolutely, that's all they need.
Yep, I hear it all the time on the internet.
Yep, I know you do. It's out there. And it's come, a lot of it's come out of the Sons of God people and people that have come the same way that we have done that has entered into this. And this is a truth. It's not that it's not a truth, but it's become a truth unto itself with this agenda that shut the gate. Yeah. It shut another gate. To know your identity is not enough. To have the revelation you are the presence of God in the earth, to understand your incarnation, forget reincarnation, just understand your incarnation. Yeah. Why are we going to argue over reincarnation? We have to understand, why did we as a divine being come into this human experience in the first place? That's what we need to understand. So what I'm saying is to have the revelation, all right, I am the presence, I am the divine, I am Christ, one with Christ, you know, all those things. That is a new imprint that I have made in my personal consciousness that fits the reality of who I am. This is kind of fresh off the press, so hold on with me here. I'm going to have to refine it.
Okay.
So, knowledge or a revelation creates an imprint of something, but it isn't the something.
Yeah.
But in the brain, a new imprint, a new neural pathway has been formed out of neurons that fits who you are, so that you, who you are, now has a place, a space in which to come in and manifest the true self. So that's a different thing. The knowledge is the imprint. The coming in of who you are is the experience.
My heavens, and it needs to get in my earth.
And it can't get into the earth unless it has an imprint.
Right.
That's why it's important to take out old imprints of old misinformation that has traveled down through your life stream that does not fit or align itself to the true word of God that you are. I don't know how else to say it. When you claim something to be the word of God that is different from what the word of God is, you don't have an imprint to receive the reality of that word. So the first thing that has to be done in the land is old imprints have to be taken out of old information. And that's the thing that everybody's being a little lazy about, as far as I'm concerned, is people are not getting involved in any of these ministries. I'm going to call them ministries because ministries are not this anymore so much. Ministries can be with tuning forks, ministries can be with drums, ministry can be with bells, many different things. I'm talking about the sincere, not people that's just, and in that you got a little ego too, so you have to really discern. I'm talking about people that are truly being called the light workers, the ministers that are rising at this time who are really facilitators. And I've told people, I'll tell you, if anybody says they can heal you or call themselves a healer, walk out the door. Go out the door. Nobody can heal you. Healing is already built into you, and it's a part of you called wholeness in which no healing is needed. Not everything needs to be healed in you, because it is transcendent of becoming anything less than the whole essence of what it is. And we think the most ultimate thing is to get a healing. No, the most ultimate thing is to reconnect with our wholeness that never got sick in the first place. Amen. That part of us that had no birth and had no death, that part is not even reincarnating over and over to learn anything. It's just going along for the journey. So the lower soul can raise its vibratory frequency up to the level of agreement. When there's an agreement.
A marriage.
And the real path, since we talk about path, the real path will take you to the no path. The path will not take you to enlightenment, because enlightenment is already who you are. There is nothing that can put your lights out. There is nothing that can turn your light off. There is nothing that can punch your lights out. Your lights are shining. You are the light and the glory of the creation, of the Creator right now. Now I have to say that by total faith, because my five senses would not in any way give agreement to that statement. Because all it sees is lack and need and sickness and everything that isn't what I just said. Because it feeds only on the information that is fed to it through how it appears to be. So in some energetics, I've learned, one thing I've learned in some energetics is we have gone the wrong direction. We have gone from accepting imperfection to become perfect. We have gone from illness and sickness to become healed and well. We have come from, you're a sinner, you can be saved. Everything starts with our brokenness. Everything starts with what we are different from than our Creator. We've built an identity out of everything that our Creator is not. We are. Do you understand that? We've taken the broken pieces. We've taken the sinful idea of ourselves, some of us back years ago. You know, that's where we started. First of all, we're a sinner. Well, God's not a sinner, so that had nothing to do with God. So that was separate from God. And then we're these little peon human beings who are trying to undo all of the mess that we've done, and then we get sick and we die, you know, all this stuff. This is what's been gathered into the pseudo-self. And the ego says, now I'm going to give you religions and things so you can spend your time trying to fix these pieces of things that you are not and have never been or will never be. And I'll just keep you busy working on the illusion. And you'll die working on the illusion. Mm-hmm. And you'll die in despair in your last breaths. You know, bless my mother's heart. Since it's Mother's Day, I'll use my mother, and I hope I use this in a way that is for benefit for all of us. But my mother was as good a faith-believing Christian. I mean, she loved me, and love is blind in that way. But I'm sure in her heart she didn't agree with all the things that I teach and that I minister. She stayed right to the last of pretty much a fundamentalist Christian idea of Jesus and Jesus would heal and the things that she was taught. I don't think she really changed a whole lot of her own personal feelings about those things. And I honored that and she honored me. And we got along just fine that way. Because it was an agreement made before we came. That's how it worked. When things work that well, as it's worked with my parents, I know that it was an agreement between all of us that this is the way it was going to be. So my mother loved me. She supported me. You know how she was mm-hmm. about things. But in her personal moments that I saw, you know, it was the Gaither music and it was the Jesus is coming and all these kind of things that was her faith. She had simple prayer. She believed in faith. But in her dying breath, none of that was a testimony. It was not a testimony. I watched her lay 10 years and slowly die and diabetes take her body. Her eye, her kidneys, her bladder, wasn't much left. Thank God we kept her feet on and legs on when they was ready to amputate years before that. And I do give to the love and the work that was done with her that kept all of those things on. I'm just sharing this to show you that we're going from the wrong direction. That's what repent means. Please understand the word repent means to change your mind. That's all it means. Look it up. Repent, metanoia, I believe, if I remember the words right. Metanoia, to change one's mind. It doesn't mean, oh, I'm sorry, I smoke cigarettes. I don't want to go to hell, I'll give up my cigarettes. You know, this is stuff I heard at the altars when I was a kid. You know, I'll take my lipstick off, women would say, you know, I won't cut my hair anymore. I mean, just, oh my God, can you imagine how irrelevant it all was to some God going, you wear lipstick? Really never noticed. Not into lipstick. But we were taught that way. So what I now come from and try to teach, all I can do is teach it. I can't convert people to something, but if they can grasp it, and I'm still working to grasp it. Mm-hmm. My five senses every day challenges me, but it's there to strengthen me. I've got to get that over to you. All your doubts, your fears, your anxieties, your depressions, and anything that you might be going through is only there to strengthen you. It's like just before the Spirit came without measure to Jesus, the adversary was allowed to come. It said, and the Spirit led the devil was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to tempt Jesus. Or what does it say? Wait a minute. What does it say? Anyway, the Spirit led. The Spirit led.
Yeah.
This was a setup by the Spirit. This wasn't coming from the devil. The Spirit was using the idea of the devil or the adversarial aspects of Jesus. Maybe that would have meant what he was taught from culture, his race, his bloodline, all of the things that were his cultural identity all came up because it was to strengthen him for the last moment before he was initiated over to receive the Spirit without measure and to move him into his ministry. Well, isn't he a pattern? Don't we call him the pattern? You got to realize that just before the breaking of the day, oh, I'm just saying that so much. It is a true fact that is the darkest just before the sun comes up. That is the darkest part of the night is just before the first breaking of sunlight. The Greeks call that the 11th hour. And they also say that it's in the 11th hour that the gods come. So wouldn't it make sense that everything we have been through, a lot of us in this room for 20, 30 years or however long, has all been in preparation for this time of temptation and testing. Now, we've been in the new day for a long time, but we've not experienced the rising of the sun of the new day. You're in the new day past midnight. Most of the part of your new day is going to be in your darkest night. Huh? Do you get me? At midnight tonight, you'll be into Monday. But it's going to be dark for hours before you see the manifestation of a new day as the sun begins to shine on this side of the earth. And that's going to prove that you've been in the new day for hours while you were in yet darkness. So is this not trying to tell us something that we're on the brink of possibly, not possibly, but on the brink of the sun rising? And when it rises, it'll have healing in its wings. It will have healing in its wings. So what I'm trying to get to, and I'll slow down here. Can't got a plane to catch, places to go, things to do.
Saying we're the ones we're waiting for.
Exactly. But here's what I'm trying to get to you. What I'm trying to teach now, and I've planted this seed at least in 1,000 people that has gone through these classes in 10 years. Every practitioner is first, and this is such good metaphysical Course in Miracles. I so believe that this is so good about the healing of your mind is the healing of your brother. That's very important. That's what Jesus says in A Course in Miracles. The healing of your mind is the healing of your brother, because the illness of your brother is only your own illness projected upon a symbol of what you've not healed in yourself. So any one of us that can see anybody sickness is because we have the imprint of sickness in ourselves, or we could not see it. That's pretty heavy. If I can see it and recognize it, I can only recognize it because my mind is projecting out as a symbol of something that is in me. That's why the Native Americans, you hear the stories about they couldn't see the ship when it was out there and they couldn't see this. There's a lot of indigenous people that lived in such lack of toxicity and lived in such oneness with nature and ceremony and whatever, that they did not even see any of the darker negative sides of things, was not even recognized. What about this one? If you won't take that, I'll give you Jesus. For the adversary findeth nothing in me. What is that? Somebody help me out. The adversary findeth nothing in me. In other words, there wasn't anything in Jesus to have seen anything but wholeness and righteousness and fulfillment, all he could see.
I believe that's how he healed. He saw there.
That was the healing. He saw the healing was his own mind being healed to realize that everyone at the core deepest level was an already whole created being now. And to say anything less is nothing but an insult to your creator. There's nothing more that you could do to insult a perfect creator to say that it allows anything that is imperfect to be real. Everything that is not whole and made of light and spirituality has been made by us. We are the Lord gods who have formed it. He is the God who created it. We are the ones who formed it. He created it. We formed it. Illness, cancer, disease, lack, need has been formed by the Lord gods that were created whole and perfect. This is what I'm telling you, this is what's missing in the whole spiritual thing, as far as I'm concerned, that people are not getting. That which is only perfect can create that which is perfect. So where does all of this stuff come from? It comes from that which had been created perfect, being able to have the same ability to create or miscreate. Once you were created whole and then incarnated into this lower dimension and was given free will, then you could take that perfection and you could form and see that perfection differently and form it differently until we have this imperfect world that we have formed. But it has nothing to do in the mind of the Creator. Stay with me. For ideas cannot leave the source that created it. Ideas do not leave their source. Of Course in Miracles.
Just back to the us and them.
And I've done this 100 times, but I'll do it again. I'm the creator of an idea. I get an idea. I get an idea. We're in an energy shortage, crisis, whatever, and I get this idea of what we can do, and I go to someone that says, man, they need to hear this. I'm going to get you into the so-and-so corporation. The corporation gets me, and I give them this idea, and they look at this idea. They talk it over, and they go, oh, my God, this is a great idea. We could make hundreds of millions of dollars off of this idea. Let's just give him $10 million, and then we'll take his idea, own it, patent it, and then we'll make hundreds of means of idea. So I make $10 million on my idea. Well, I really like my brother Larry here. He's been a good friend for a long time, been faithful to the ministry. And, you know, I know he has dreams and things he would like to fulfill and maybe a little limited in funds and whatever. So I go to Larry and I said, I'd like to give you this idea in your part of the country and maybe you can get something out of it. So I extend my idea out of my head and I give it into Larry. And now my idea is in Larry's head. But Larry has free will to do with that idea whatever he wants to do with that idea. He can keep it purely my idea. Or he has the free will in his head to say something like this. And this is the voice of ego. If that crazy David Holtz can make $10 million, I bet you I could double it and make $20 million. Because I've been looking at his idea, and I really think that I would do this, not that. And I think I could add this. And he takes it and forms it until my original idea is lost in his head and he goes out and tries to sell it and gets zilch, nothing. So my idea is lost in Larry's head. That's what it means to be. He came for that which is lost. But the beautiful thing about it, I don't care what Larry did and tied his head with my idea that screwed it all up. He didn't screw it up in my head. The perfect idea never leaves its source. How could a creator see anything any less than the way it created it? Because creation is the idea of itself. Everything has to start with a thought and an idea, not with earth and dust. The idea has to start within the mind. So you are the creator's idea of itself. Then how can you be anything less than the one who created you if you are the thought of itself? And then religion comes along and says that all that perfection all fell out of heaven, starting with an angel. And that interesting, starts with an angel. Now I'm telling you, angel means message or thought. Lucifer represents some kind of thought of light that changed the way it saw itself. And rather than seeing itself as it was, it saw itself as it became as it walked in the garden of men. Didn't become the devil. He became a man. Only he became a more denser version of what had been created. So he became a hued version of man. A deluded, became deluded, and a lesser shade. Maybe God is red, and if man has that frequency of the same red, then it's fine. But if you dilute it with water, you get different paler shades of that red. It's still red, and he's still the red man, Adam, which means red man. But he's not the shade of red that which created him. But he still holds his redness, which means blood. Back to where I talked to you the other day about Adam, the blood of the Lord. Something happened in the blood that diluted the information, and it became distorted. And it's in the iron imprints information in the blood. And then all the different nations came and started mixing blood, which confused the information. This is the reason for things not necessarily being mixed. It's not racism. It has nothing to do with racism. But it would have been, I'm telling you, in the more excellent way, it would be better if cultures would have stayed among their own cultures and divided in the sense of passing on their information through the generations. People are messed up in their genetics today because there's been too much mixing of information from one to another that has confused this generation of young people especially. I know there's some talented ones. I know they are some very crystal children sprinkled in and everything. But overall, kids do not feel a hope. They are confused about their future, about what's going on. You know, drugs is still doing quite well out there. And young people who are not taking drugs are into fundamental religion because that becomes a drug. They have to have euphoria somewhere. I really shouldn't get into all this because I'm going to get in trouble and get in an area. My point is, unless we see a client or a person we're working with as the Creator would see it, which is whole, and move through all of the brokenness and the illusion and work from the wholeness out rather than peeling the onion from the outside in. All I hear is peeling the onion, peeling the onion. There's nothing wrong with peeling the onion if you peel the onion from the inside out. But when you peel it from the outside in, you're going the wrong direction. So the first thing that has to be recognized, that no matter what my eyes see, my ears tell me, or any of my five senses, and this is where your faith is tested. If you want to know what faith is, it's calling those things that appear not to be as though they were because they are. It's not lying. I said, I will not do this blind faith believing thing that was taught to me in Pentecost and the charismatic thing of just believing in something that isn't there as though it was. No, I believe it because I know it is there, but I just can't see it. It's not coming to the manifestation of the field in which my five senses have been limited to. That's why we need a coming. That's why we need a coming of the Lord. That's why we need a coming of Christ. That's why we need the coming of something that is the reality that already exists. But it can't come because every time that it has to define itself by using the spectrum of frequency, it has to come from the highest, and then it has to come to the next level, and then it has to go to a more dense level, and it's slowing down, and it's slowing down, and it's slowing down, and it's slowing down, and then it's trapped. It's trapped. This is trapped. This is spirit energy trapped. All right, let's take steam, floating around. Put my hand through it. Very ethereal. Oh my God, steam is so mystical. I can't even get a hold of it because the molecules are so much space in it that it's. I can put my hand right through it. It's not even solid. But then the temperature comes down and the steam gets a little bit more dense, a little more dense, less space in the molecules. Molecules bind a little closer, and all of a sudden the steam becomes water. Water becomes more tangible. It's. In fact, I exercise in water, and to go out in a pool and do this will be as much as 10 times more strength in the water to do this than in air. Because the water is of more density than air. And then the temperatures go down and the temperatures go down and the water gets more thicker and colder and colder and colder, and ice begins to get on top of it, and then all of a sudden there's a temperature at 32 degrees or so, whatever the point is. At some point in the temperature, it's trapped. The molecules are so close that it traps. There is no more space, and there is a chunk of ice. And that's the fall of man. I just gave you the fall of man. The fall of man is in density and temperature. From the hot universe into the cold universe of matter. Matter is trapped spirit and energy. And remember, Jesus went and preached to the spirits in prison. Hold on, I will redeem your bodies. I will heat up your bodies. I will change the spin of your electrons. I will heat this thing up, and there will be a Holy Ghost and fire, and there will be that which is going to melt all of your ice, and you're going to be returned back to these wonderful light bodies. And with light runs through your veins. So another assignment today I'm going to leave you with. I'm trying to leave you everyone with an assignment. Your assignment I'm going to give you is this. Every day that you will stop and remind yourself that you are already a whole, magnificent child of God. of creator, whatever you choose to call it. I don't know about this universe thing. I'm really challenged about the universe thing. I don't think universe is a good synonym for God anymore because, and I can show you in my science magazines that since they have found the background of the universe, the microwave background of the universe, they have found a whole bunch of things that are out of tune. It's in the American Science Magazine. It's quite fascinating. There's missing notes. There's missing things. So I'm thinking, well, why am I using the universe as... I want to be like the universe. Maybe the universe needs a little tuning itself. So it's another word, again, that we've dropped, you know. But I think source, creator, God, if you want to use it, whatever it is. But you got to know what you're talking about. You're talking about that which is the ultimate perfection, has extended you as itself, and you share in that perfection. We're heirs together in the grace of life. It's one of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible. It just feels good to say it. We are heirs together in the grace of life. Say it with me. We are heirs together in the grace. I am heirs together in the grace of life. So today, lay down in green pastures. Cease from your labor. Cease from your trying to become perfect and declare, I am perfect because He is perfect. The idea is remove all of the misinformation and blockages between your wholeness and how it coalesces into a blueprint called etheric to become your physical body. If you can change how the blueprint comes together, all the way from the higher etheric, causal, astral, emotional, mental, into the etheric blueprint, and that etheric blueprint is equal to the etheric crown that holds the perfect blueprint. When those two are in agreement, when two agree, then it shall be done as a physical body. Ooh, that's how it's going to be done, when two agree. And the two that have to agree is called the crown or the catheric. If the catheric can become and not lose its original I am vibration all the way to the etheric blueprint then is issued to become the next generation of cells that are going to replicate and die and be reborn. I ask people all the time, if cells are dying and being recreated, where are the new cells coming from? Simple, from the etheric body. If in the etheric body is blockages, unresolved issues from ancestral things, from lifetimes, from karma, from all these things, then that's what's going to be your body. Your body is going to be the manifestation of unresolved issues, old karma that's not been taken care of, and all of the stuff that could have been taken care of before it got there. I tell you, work is preventive now. We need to put ourselves into preventive work. People find it really hard to work out here. Now, Hannah worked on me 2.5 hours with DNA, RNA forks yesterday. She didn't touch me with the forks. She worked totally for them in my etheric body. And I felt like someone had given me one of the deepest massages I have ever had. Every muscle, every bone, and every part of my body was responding without being touched physically. Because the work that she's doing with me has to do with layers and layers of my ancestral that is coming in, trying to find its way into my physiology. So you've got to be willing to work out here.
Well, I don't feel anything.
That's what people, I didn't feel anything. You guys are the worst. When I say you guys, I'm talking in general. Guys are the worst because they never feel anything. I didn't feel anything. That tuning fork was held over me and they were doing this. They were just holding that fork out there in empty space over me. I want somebody to put their hands on me and get down in there and get deep. That's me. And I like that too. Janet does about as well as anybody. She's great. If you want a good deep massage, she knows how to do it. If you want a body massage, we need that too. I'm not saying we don't need that, but I'm saying there's other things that needs to be worked with, a massage, the etheric body, all of these different bodies. We need frequencies that we can absolutely clear out, clear out, clear out, clear out. Open the gates, the king's trying to come in, king's trying to come in. Now the etheric, the crowned one is coming in, the king of kings, the lord of lords trying to come through, but the gate is closed, the gate is closed, the gate is closed, the gate is closed. And where the gate is closed, then the ego fills in with the information, misinformation you've learned out of the brain, and you get a distorted picture of perfection, which is why we have distorted inferior physical bodies. Well, that's a lot to think about. But I'm telling you, I'm trying to give you how it's done. And that's the thing the ego doesn't want you to understand, is process. It's never wanted you to know anything as the way. So remember, you got some things to do. 1 minute of total silence. This is not silence. The silence is, let me go through this real quickly. No, it's late. The silence is not what you attain by quieting your brain. Quietness is the silent observer that's observing all the thoughts. So you're already that. You don't have to attain to be the silent observer. So now that's to take a load off of you that's trying to work so hard to not think anymore and reach this place of enlightenment. It's not by works. It's not by works. You are sitting in the theater silently observing all those crazy thoughts going on. And those thoughts are not you at all. Not one of them is you. I don't care what your emotional body says it feels like. You feel scared. You feel anxious. Just watch. It's like, what a bizarre movie this is. Have you ever gone to a movie and it's just too gory and too whatever, and you just say, I don't think I like this movie. So what do as the silent observer? You have the choice to get up out of your seat, leave the theater, and leave the movie completely. Now, I didn't mean the movie doesn't keep running, because it'll run its length until it says the end, but you don't have to sit there and observe all these things. But no, the ego says, those are you. You are your anxiety. You are your depression. You are this. You better grab those things. So we work hard and work hard, I'm gonna work hard, I'm gonna work. Oh, there's another thought. Sorry, I start all over again. I'm gonna try it again. I'm beginning. I think I got it. Oop, no, I had another thought. Oh, I can't do this. I just can't do this. I'm not even gonna try it. Remember, all the things you're trying to attain, you already are. Say it with me. Everything that I am. Everything that I am trying to attain, I already am. They didn't convince me a thing. Everything that I'm trying to attain, I already am.
Hi, I hope you've enjoyed this month's CD of the month, which was made in Carrollton, Ohio at Angels in the Valley. What a great weekend we had, and I thought Sunday morning, which is this CD, was one of the most powerful, but we'll be sharing the other CDs with you as time goes on. Well, we want to give you a report about Hot Springs. We are finally getting everything pretty much out of boxes and getting it put together. We've created a beautiful space here in our new offices, a wonderful place for meetings and training, and it's just really very pretty. Want to announce that I will be in Honesdale, Pennsylvania on June 17th, 18th, and 19th, and that is with Hannah Simmons. This is our second meeting there. The first meeting was quite received by a lot of people, and we just want to do it again and feel like it's a new door opening for people who are really open to hear the present truth of today. So Honesdale, Pennsylvania, it's a beautiful, intimate little town right in the foothills of the Pocono Mountains. So you that are looking for a little getaway out on the East Coast or anywhere, as far as that's concerned, contact Hannah.
I'm going to be in Morgantown, West Virginia over July the 4th weekend, which is July 1, 2, and 3. And we always enjoy being with Heidi and Dale and all the folks that are a part of the Morgantown, West Virginia meetings. Going to be in Dallas, Texas in July 23rd and 24th. That's on a Saturday and a Sunday. And we're going to be in a new location there. So you in that area, or you that are planning to come up from other places, please contact us here at the office, and we will tell you about that information. You'll probably have it on your schedule, I assume. Also, I want to go ahead and begin to talk about Labor Day weekend, September 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Now, this is a pretty important one. This is our 20th Labor Day weekend retreat, and most likely our last in Dayton, and the last as we know it. Now, we'll probably reinvent something a little different, a little new, but we feel that we feel kind of like Oprah does at 25 years, that 20 years is completing something for us there, and we're ready to move on. And if you just notice, so many people are feeling the same thing of reinventing and relocating and redoing so many things. So there's definitely this energy that we talk about and have prophesied about is coming in enough that we're feeling this creativity. So I imagine a lot of you listening to me know what I'm talking about, maybe even in your lives, that you just feel this need to shift things, to change things. So Labor Day weekend also will be my 50th, yes, that's 50, anniversary in the ministry. Hard to believe, one half of a century that I have been in spiritual work and started my ministry. So we're going to be putting those together, Labor Day weekend and my 50th anniversary. So this is very important to me that all of you who have been a part of this ministry have been affected and possibly can get to this very important event. I really encourage you and be honored and blessed if you would begin to prepare to be a part of this Labor Day weekend retreat. So you're going to hear more about that. Now, you may get your next CD of the month may be a little late because we're going to Dayton to finalize all of the details for this. So we're going to happen to be there at the time the CD usually goes out. So we will get it to you as soon as we get back into Hot Springs. So maybe a little bit late. So we just want to thank all of you for all your love, all your support. It's been a real challenge to make a move in these days. There's just so much involved, and it's a commitment. So we appreciate. We've already got a couple or one or two that's moving to Hot Springs. So we're looking for community. So any of you that's kind of retired and can be anywhere that you want, I really recommend that you look up Hot Springs. It is the largest retirement center in the United States. In the first, I believe it's the first, one of the first national parks in the United States. It is absolutely beautiful. The healing waters, I just came from there. I just had physical therapy, and where the waters come right out of the mountain every day. And it's absolutely wonderful. So what a great place to be. And you that are hungry to be with like-minded people, just something to think about if you're in that position that you're able to change things and come and visit, look it over, and look around. You might really fall in love. Everybody who's come here so far to visit us has fallen in love with Hot Springs. So I always want to let you know we do not take you for granted, but we thank you so much for your love and your support. Let us hear from you. And we do ask for your support financially at this time as we try to settle here in a whole new region and part of the country than we've been in for so many years. So, bless you as always, my sincere prayer. Until next time.